Tadayanam namaskritya nam cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Chapter entitled Pariksha Curse by a Brahmana Boy. Text number 3. Utsrijya Savata Sangam. Vigyata Jita Samstiti. Vyasakir Jaho Shisho. Gangayam Swam Kalevaram. Utsrijya Savata Sangam. Vigyata Jita Samstiti. Vyasakir Jaho Shisho. Gangayam Swam Kalevaram. Utsrijya Savata Sangam. Vigyata Jita Samstiti. Vyasakir Jaho Shisho. Gangayam Swam Kalevaram. Utsrijya. After leaving aside. Sarvata. All around. Sangam. Association. Vigyata. Being understood. Ajita. One who is never conquered. The personality of Godhead. Samstiti. Actual position. Vyasake. Unto the son of Vyas. Jaho. Gave up. Shishya. As a disciple. Gangayam. On the bank of the Ganges. Swam. His own. Kalevaram. Material body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Furthermore, after leaving all his associates, the king surrendered himself as a disciple to the son of Vyasa, Shukadev Goswami, and thus he was able to understand the actual position of the personality of Godhead. Translation responsibly. Furthermore, after leaving all his associates, the king surrendered himself as a disciple of the son of Vyasa, Shukadev Goswami. And thus he was able to understand the actual position of the personality of Godhead. Purport. The word Ajita is significant here. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is known as Ajita, or unconquerable. And he is so in every respect. No one can know his actual position. He is unconquerable by knowledge also. We have heard about his dharma, or place, eternal Goloka Vrindavan, but there are many scholars who interpret this abode in different ways. But by the grace of a spiritual master like Shukadev Goswami, unto whom the king gave himself up as the most humble disciple, one is able to understand the actual position of the Lord, his eternal abode, and his transcendental paraphernalia in that dham or abode. Knowing the transcendental position of the Lord and the transcendental method by which one can approach the transcendental dham, the king was confident about his ultimate destination, and by knowing this he could leave aside everything material, even his own body, without any difficulty of attachment. In the Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Param Drishtva Nivartate. One can give up all connection with material attachment when one is able to see the Param, or the superior quality of things. From Bhagavad Gita we understand the quality of the Lord's energy that is superior to the material energy. And by the grace of a bona fide spiritual master like Shukadeva Goswami, it is quite possible to know everything of the superior energy of the Lord, by which the Lord manifests his eternal name, quality, pastimes, paraphernalia, and variegatedness. Unless one thoroughly understands this superior or eternal energy of the Lord, it is not possible to leave the material energy. However, one may theoretically speculate on the true nature of the Absolute Truth. By the grace of Lord Krishna, Maharaj Parikshit was able to receive the mercy of such a personality as Shukadeva Goswami, and thus he was able to know the actual position of the unconquerable Lord. It is very difficult to find the Lord from the Vedic literatures, but it is very easy to know him by the mercy of a liberated devotee like Shukadeva Goswami. Omagyan Timanandasya Ganjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Rama Hare Hare. So, the whole Bhagavatam is a conversation between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. So in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually tonight in our Bhakti Vedanta course, we're actually going over that verse in the seventh canto, a very famous verse, where Prahlad Maharaj, he is sitting on the lap of his father, Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu says to Prahlad Maharaj, what have you learnt at school? And he says, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. He says, this is what I've learnt, the nine processes of bhakti. Actually, he had not learned that at school. He actually learned all of that in the womb of his mother when she was being instructed by Narad Muni, who was the guru of Prahlad Maharaj and also the guru of Prahlad Maharaj's mother. So each of these items of bhakti, they're represented by one particular personality who shows the perfection or how to attain perfection or how perfection was attained by following that particular anga. Srila Prabhupada says that you can become perfect in Krishna consciousness just by following one of these angas perfectly. But generally we follow many of them or all of them. We don't just do one, we do all of them simultaneously. But they're all so powerful that just by doing one of them you can attain perfection. So we see here that the Srimad Bhagavatam is a conversation between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit. Now Shukadeva Goswami is the emblem of kirtan, of chanting the Srimad Bhagavatam or preaching Krishna consciousness. He is the perfect example. He is one of the 12 Mahajans. Now, there are 12 Mahajans which are spoken about within the Bhagavatam in the 6th canto, Yamaraj mentions. Brahma, Shiva, Narada, the Kumaras, Kapila, Manu, Janak, Prahlad, Bhishma, Shukadev, Yamaraj, and Bali Maharaj. These are the 12 Mahajanas. So out of the 12, the person who has the most realization about Krishna, about the Absolute Truth, is Shukadev Goswami. Because Shukadev Goswami, in his previous life, before he appeared as Shukadev Goswami, he was one of the parrots in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And he was asked to stay within the material world to teach Krishna consciousness. So out of all the Mahajanas, out of all the great personalities who speak the Bhagavatam, he has the most realization, because he had the most intimate association with Radha and Krishna themselves in Vrindavan. So when it came to the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, he could speak about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan with the most authority, because he was there. He'd seen everything. He knew everything. He was the most intimate associate. He used to carry messages between the two of them. He would go between Radha and Krishna and carry messages. So he's the most intimate associate. And actually, when he speaks the 10th canto, he directly avoids mentioning the name of Srimati Radharani. And this is explained in the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita by Sanatana Goswami, that if he had directly mentioned Radha's name, then he would have fallen into a trance. He would have become stunned, remembering Srimati Radharani, and the Bhagavatam would not have been finished. So he purposely did not mention Radharani's name directly. She's mentioned indirectly. Arajo, it is mentioned, but it's not directly mentioned, her name. So, Shukadeva Goswami, he became perfect. Not he became perfect, but he is perfect, and he shows the perfect example of how we can become perfect by kirtan. Kirtan means preaching, right? By speaking about Krishna. Krishna kirtan. By speaking to others about Krishna. We can become perfect by speaking to others about Krishna. And actually, that is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. The purpose of our movement, of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, is to speak to others about Krishna. And we can become perfect by doing that. One time, one of the devotees said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how can we repay our debt to you? And Srila Prabhupada said, actually, it is not possible. He said, but if you want to try, then preach vigorously like me. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's guru, Maharaj, he said, I have marked him. When Prabhupada was introduced, Prabhupada met Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1922. And then he did not see Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur again for a number of years. So when he did meet him again, then they introduced him. This is a boy child like that. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, yes, I have marked him. He likes to hear. So Srila Prabhupada later said, because he was enthusiastic for Shravanam, or for hearing from his spiritual master, he became enthusiastic for kirtan, or preaching Krishna consciousness. Okay, thank you. So this is the qualification. If we want to become enthusiastic for preaching Krishna consciousness or speaking about Krishna, We have to become enthusiastic for hearing about Krishna. We have to inundate our consciousness with transcendental sound vibration, Shabda Brahma, or hearing about Krishna. The more we hear about Krishna, the more we will want to preach about Krishna, because he pervades our consciousness. So that is the system. So Shukadev Goswami is the emblem or the perfect example of preaching about Krishna, of kirtan. He showed us how to be perfect, completely absorbed just in speaking about Krishna. 7 days, 7 nights, these 18,000 verses were spoken. Maharaj Pariksit did not drink water. We can't even fast for 1 day. Difficult for us not to eat for 1 day. 7 days, no food. 7 days, no water. 7 days, no sleep. Cannot be imitated. None of us can imitate anything like this. But this is how enthusiastic the pair of them were. Shukadev Goswami was so enthusiastic, they forgot. Time was irrelevant. They stayed awake the whole time. During the class, they did not doze off. There was no instance where Shukadev Goswami said, "Excuse me, Maharaj Pariksit, you're dozing off at this point in time." No, he was in rapt attention. Srila Prabhupada says that we should hear the Bhagavatam with rapt attention. You should be absorbed in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was absorbed in chanting for the whole time. And Shukadev Goswami, he understood that Suta Goswami would in the future repeat this message to the sages of Naimisharanya 230 years later, because this is the very beginning of Kali Yuga. So Shukadev Goswami, he said to Suta Goswami, he said, "Come and sit very close." And he saw Suta Goswami was sitting in the audience of all the sages, and he said, "Come and sit very close, because you'll have to repeat this again." So he listened very carefully, and these personalities, they are called Shruti Dara. Shruti Dara means they hear something once and they remember it always. Not like us. You tell someone something and then 5 minutes later they come back and say, "What was that again?" Our memories are not so good in Kali Yuga. But previously, the memory was so perfect of the sages that Suta Goswami heard the entire 18,000 verses in 7 days, and he memorized every single verse. And then for 230 years he meditated on the meaning of the Bhagavatam. He realized the meaning of the Bhagavatam, and then he spoke it again to the sages of Naimisharanya. So he became perfect by chanting kirtan. And Pariksha Maharaj, he is said to be the perfect emblem of Shravana. He heard perfectly for 7 days. So what was his attitude? Because this is, if we want to become rapt in attention while hearing the Bhagavatam, we have to have the correct attitude while hearing. Why do we fall asleep sometimes in Bhagavatam class? Because we don't have the proper attitude. Because if you have the proper attitude, you can't fall asleep. Because you're so enthusiastic, you can't fall asleep. But it means our attitude is not correct, or it's not perfect yet. So what is the perfect attitude? Krishna himself speaks it in the Bhagavad Gita. What is the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? Chapter 4. It's just after chapter 3. It is called Jnana Yoga, which means transcendental knowledge. So how to get transcendental knowledge? Because the Bhagavad Gita is spoken very systematically. First chapter of the Gita is just a summary. The first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is just an introduction. There's not a lot of philosophy in the first chapter. Although there is a lot of philosophy in the first chapter. Actually, if you study it, there's a lot in the first chapter. But it's just an introduction. The second, it's just a beginning. And then the second is setting the scene. That is the first chapter. The second chapter is a synopsis or a study of everything which will be spoken in the Gita as it goes on. That is chapter 2. contents of the Gita summarized. Right, so it's like a summary. Okay, this is what will be spoken. This is how you write a book. When you write a book, you write a summary in the beginning. This is what the book is about. If you ever write a book, then this is how you write it. You follow what Krishna does in the Gita. In the beginning, you write a summary. This is what the book is about. So everyone knows, okay, this is what to expect. And now I will elaborate upon this. And then in the 18th chapter, the perfection of renunciation, in the 18th chapter, then he summarizes it all again. Prabhupada says there's nothing new in the 18th chapter. It is just a summary of everything which was spoken previously. But at the end of it, because there's more conversation than what is recorded in those 700 verses. Even though there's 700 verses that we get between the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna and Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya, but Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Baladeva Vijayabhushan, they add extra commentary. Because actually there was more said. They were speaking more than what is actually recorded. So at the end, now when you get to 1865, you get to the very end of the Gita, then Arjuna says to Krishna, Krishna, you've spoken so many things. Can you just summarize everything now and just bring it all to the essence? In other words, to the rahasya. Rahasya means the secret or the essence. Please just give me the essence of all of this. So then he says, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto. He gives the essence of the entire Gita in that verse. But then Arjuna says, after that, he says, you've given me four things. Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto. Madhyaji Mamnamaskuru. You've given me four things. Those four things, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Those four are expanded into nine. Those four become Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasa. They become those nine. And those nine become the 64, which Rupa Goswami says in the explains in the Nectar of Devotion. So, Arjuna says to Krishna, you've given me four things. Just give me one thing. So then he gives the Charan Shloki. The Charan Shloki means like the essence of it all. Sava Daman Parichyaja. And then Prabhupada says, in one lecture, Prabhupada speaking, Sava Daman means, Parijaja means reject, Sava, all, everything which was spoken previously. Now Prabhupada says, Krishna says to Arjuna, just reject it all. Forget everything that I just said. Mame kam sharanam vaja, just remember one thing, surrender unto me. Krishnaika sharanam. If you study the 26 qualities of a devotee. One of the qualities of a devotee is that he stays awake in the Bhagavatam class. It's not really, but one of the qualities of the devotee, when Lord Chaitanya is teaching Sanatana Shiksha, when he's teaching Sanatana Goswami, then Lord Chaitanya says there are 26 qualities of a devotee. But of all of the qualities, one of them is the most important. Right, that is called Krishnaika Sharana. Krishna Eka Sharana. Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. That is the essence of the Gita. A devotee is known for this quality. Right, this is the most important quality that we have to cultivate. We are surrendered to Krishna. We will do anything for Krishna. We will do anything for our spiritual masters. We will do anything for the Vaishnavas. We will do anything for Tulsi Devi. We will do anything for the deities. That is what Krishna is looking for. That is bhakti. That is the most important quality of the devotee. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. So this is the essence of everything. So when Maharaj Parikshit, then when Krishna is speaking the Gita, then in the 18th chapter he gives the conclusion. In the second chapter he gives the summary, contents of the Gita summarized, what will come. Now, in the third chapter is called Karma Yoga. Karma means activity. So he speaks about acting in Krishna consciousness. Yoga means to connect or to unite. So karma means doing your activities for Krishna. So karma means you're active. Jnana, which is the fourth chapter, is a study. It's a more passive path. Those who are jnanis, they are more passive, they're not active. And Krishna makes this point to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says to Arjuna, you can say you're going to leave the battlefield and go to the forest because you don't want to fight, but that's not your nature. You're an active person. This is how we advance in Krishna consciousness. We have to understand who and what we are. We have to understand our psychophysical makeup. We have to understand our nature. Are we an active person or are we more of a jnani? Some devotees are more jnanis. They can sit all day and just study. They're completely peaceful. They're completely pacified. They can absorb themselves and then they can lecture on Krishna. Right? And that's their service and they're purified doing that. But some of us, we can't read Prabhupada's books for more than 5 minutes at a time. We're so active, right? Our minds are just moving continuously. So you have to understand your nature. How do you understand your nature? Prabhupada says you understand that through your gurus, through the senior Vaishnavas. They will analyze your nature and they will engage you according to your nature. We have to be, in order to become purified of our material contamination, we have to be engaged according to our nature properly. If you're doing the wrong service, which is not according to your nature, you won't become properly purified in Krishna's service. You have to be always engaged properly. So, the fourth chapter is called Jnana Yoga, how to cultivate knowledge. It's more of an inactive path. And then the fifth chapter is called Action in Krishna Consciousness. It's a synthesis of the two. Acting, we act, but we act in knowledge. That's how we become purified in our consciousness, when we're acting in knowledge. Because if you look at the world these days, everyone's acting, but not in knowledge. They don't have any higher purpose or any guidance of how to act properly or to make their karma, karma yoga. They don't have jnana. They don't have transcendental knowledge. So in the fourth chapter, Krishna explains how to receive transcendental knowledge. And then Prabhupada says in the 34th verse of the fourth chapter, Prabhupada said, actually, one time he said, that is actually the most important verse in the whole Bhagavad Gita. And it is one of the verses that everyone knows. It's one of the most famous verses in the whole Gita. Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnana jnaninas tatva darshina. So this is how to receive transcendental knowledge. Tadvidi pranipatena vidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya. There are three elements which are given within that particular verse. So what are the three elements? Right? These are the three elements that Maharaj Parikshit had, which made him successful in Shravana, or in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. When he approached Sukadeva Goswami, he was a perfect disciple. He had a perfect attitude. And Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Instruction, he says, spiritual advancement is based upon the attitude of the follower. It's our attitude which makes us advance in Krishna consciousness. If you have a service attitude, you advance very quickly in Krishna consciousness. If you don't have a service attitude, you don't advance very rapidly. It takes a long, long, long time to advance in Krishna consciousness. So why did Maharaj Parikshit, why did he become perfect in 7 days? Why was he ready for death after 7 days? Because his attitude was perfect. Right? Because what is the first quality that Krishna gives? You must be submissive. You must have a submissive attitude towards your guru and towards the senior Vaishnavas. If you're not submissive, you can't advance in Krishna consciousness. You have to submit. Sharana. Mam ekam, sharana, braja. Krishna says, you have to submit, you have to become submissive. If you think you know everything, no one can tell you anything. If you think you know everything, then how will you be instructed? How will you learn? How will you progress? You have to have the right attitude. You have to be able to approach Krishna with the right attitude. You have to approach the spiritual master with the right attitude. In other words, you have to always be in the mood of submission. Right? So this is the right attitude when we approach. We have to be submissive, which means we have to develop dānya. Dānya means humility. Now Narottam Das Thakur speaks about this in Pratana, in his prayers. He speaks about developing humility. We have to become humble when it comes to making advancement in spiritual life. In other words, you have to be willing to be instructed in Krishna consciousness. If you're not willing to be instructed, then you can't advance. So his attitude was perfect towards Shukadeva Goswami. He was submissive. And then the second element is that we must make inquiries. We must inquire. And that's when Prabhupada says, we have to listen to the Bhagavatam with rapt attention. This is what it means. We have to be in an inquiring frame of mind. In other words, we want to know more. That's how you stay awake in the class. That's actually the secret. Right? If you are not staying awake in the class, it means that you're not actively inquiring. You're not actually listening. You're not thinking, can I understand more? It is not swajaya. Swajaya means it's an element of... I'm just thinking where it's mentioned, swajaya. It's mentioned in the Yoga Sutras by Patanjali, but I think it's also mentioned in... I think Sanatana Goswami also mentions it. Swajaya means self-study. In other words, when we are hearing the Bhagavatam, we should be analysing ourselves. We should be introspective. We should be thinking when the speaker is speaking, we should be thinking, how does this apply to me? Does this mean anything to me? Can I apply this to my life? And this is the attitude of a devotee. A devotee is always thinking, I need to improve myself. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you think you are advanced, you are fallen. And if you think you are fallen, you can make advancement. So we always have to have this attitude as a devotee. So what jaya means, we also always have to be thinking, I can improve in Krishna consciousness. We never think we did a perfect job. We never think our service is perfect. We always think that there is room for improvement. And actually the devotees who advance the most are those, even they're very perfect and very advanced, but they always think, no, I have to improve in my service. And in the spiritual world, that is the attitude of all the devotees. Right? No one thinks, oh, you know, we are perfect. Now, everyone thinks, I have to make my service better for Krishna. I serve Radha and Krishna today, but tomorrow it has to be better. I cook the offering for them today, but it has to be nicer tomorrow. And actually, every time that Radharani cooks for Krishna, she has a benediction that it becomes sweeter. Why does it become sweeter? Because her attitude is, I have to make it better than I made it yesterday. She cooks his breakfast every day. She comes from Javat or Varshana every day to Nandagram to cook his breakfast. Right? And when she cooks his breakfast, it becomes more delicious than it was the previous day. Why? Because she always thinks, I have to make it better, I have to make it better. She's always in anxiety. It has to be better. It explains in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, that when Krishna is eating breakfast, then Radharani, she is hiding behind the lattice work in the kitchen. Just like you see in the cupboard there. And there's some holes in it. So in the window, there's like some lattice work. And Radharani, she's looking behind the lattice work. And Krishna is eating. And Krishna knows that she is looking. He looks out of the corner of his eye and makes sure that she is looking. So he knows she's looking. All right, and she knows she is looking. So she's watching very carefully. How does he like that? How does he like that? Does he like the subjis? She's anxious. Does he like it? Does he like it? So he knows she's looking, so he picks up one laddu, which is very... it's amazing. One time... 1968, Prabhupada, he finished a lecture in San Francisco and he went back to his apartment and he walked in and he'd made some laddus Prabhupada had made. So he gave one to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and he said, try this. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj tasted it and Prabhupada said, how do you like it? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, it is not from this world. And Prabhupada said, actually, this is a recipe of Mother Yashoda. So Srimati Radharani, she cooks the most amazing things. She's the greatest cook in the universe. So she cooks this and Krishna picks it up and he puts it in his mouth and Krishna goes... He's totally... He puts it on the plate of Sridham. Sridham is Radharani's brother, Krishna's close friend. So he puts it on Sridham's plate and Sridham picks it up and he puts it in his mouth. It is nectar. So Radharani, when she sees that Krishna, he tastes it and he's completely dissatisfied, she becomes completely full of anxiety. Her life almost stops. And then, when she sees Sridharma likes it, then she understands that actually it was just Krishna. Because it's the most delectable sweet in the universe. So this is the attitude of a devotee. A devotee's attitude is that he is always inquiring. He always wants to improve. So when we hear the Bhagavatam, if you want to stay awake in the Bhagavatam class, you have to be in this attitude. Okay, maybe sometimes you're in the class and you're not finding the class that stimulating. Sometimes you find there's not much in this class, I can't relate to this speaker. But I've never ever been to a class, all right, that I've never got something out of. You know, I've never been to a class where I didn't get at least one or two or three things out of that class, ever. Now, even if I didn't really relate to the speaker, or I didn't really find it enthusing or whatever it was, but I always got something out of the class. So that's how you stay awake. Right? So Maharaj Parikshit, he was submissive and he was inquiring. And then what was the third quality? Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena padi prashnena sevaya. Seva. Seva means service attitude. Right? This is how you become perfect in Shravanam. Well, this is how you advance in Krishna consciousness. You have to have a service attitude. Not that you just listen. Prabhupada said, don't be an armchair philosopher. You know, just sit around talking philosophy, you don't do anything. You have to work for Krishna. You have to do things for Krishna. You have to surrender your life to Krishna. You have to be willing to serve the spiritual master. You have to be willing to satisfy the spiritual master with whatever he wants, whatever he desires. So, Parikshit Maharaj was there, Sukadeva Goswami, he had a perfect service attitude. He would do anything for Sukadeva Goswami. That was his attitude. So this is these are the elements which make Shravanam perfect, and these are the elements which make dissemination or the transcendental knowledge becomes passed from the guru to the disciple when one has a service attitude. When we have a service attitude towards the spiritual master, then we will relish whatever the spiritual master says. So Krishna says this is the secret. This is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada has even said that. That if we want to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to have these elements in our consciousness. So Sukadeva Goswami, he became perfect by his kirtan. Maharaj Parikshit became perfect by hearing. And then at the end of the Bhagavatam, he was fully self-realized. So then when the snake bird came and he breathed fire upon him, and his body incinerated, just turned to ashes, he was completely fixed in consciousness. He was completely absorbed in Krishna. So he had no fear of death. And this is actually the result of hearing the Bhagavatam. If we study the Bhagavatam categorically, Prabhupada says the first nine cantos, if you study them perfectly, you'll know that you've got the result if you have no fear of death. That means your study is complete. If you're still scared of death, you have to go back again to the first canto and start again. Prabhupada actually says, if you're attached to illicit sex, you should not go past canto 1 and 2. So that's all of us. Actually, we should just study canto 1 and 2 according to the instructions, continuously. Radical statement. But actually, we should not go past Canto 1 and 2, in one sense, because Prabhupada has said that. But we study the Bhagavatam, but we have to see, are we actually getting the result of the Bhagavatam? Are we becoming fearful of death? Or are we becoming conquering our fear of death? This will be the result, we have to see. So, in this chapter, we'll hear how Maharaj Parikshit is cursed and how he accepts the curse. Prabhupada explains that actually he was so powerful that he could have counteracted that curse. He didn't have to accept the curse of Sringi. He was so powerful he could have counteracted the curse. But because he was a pure devotee and accepted that was Krishna's will, then he accepted the curse and the Bhagavatam was spoken. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we have discussed.
How does Brahmin speak about Sringi? Is it effective Kali Yuga or something else?
This is the nature of the conditioned soul to be proud, that's all. So, when Kali Yuga comes, then the conditioned souls, they become more, because in the beginning we have Satya Yuga, in Satya Yuga everyone is very pure, but the nature of association in the material world, of material association, is that we develop negative qualities or bad qualities. That's the nature of associating with the material energy. So gradually you see as the yugas progress, the people become more and more materialistic in their consciousness. So why do we become more materialistic? Because of association with the material energy. We develop a material nature or a material consciousness like that. So because Kali Yuga is about to progress. See, Kali, now it's Kali Yuga. So Kali Yuga doesn't make us do anything. Right? Kali Yuga doesn't make us act in a particular way. It's the association which is more prevalent in Kali Yuga. If we take that association, we become affected. But we can live in Kali Yuga and we can be completely liberated from the effects of Kali Yuga if our consciousness, if we're conscious of Krishna. So it's not that Kali Yuga is making Sringi act in a particular way, it's just the nature of the material energy. The more you associate with the material energy, the more you become contaminated. So.
Could it be the super soul which is guiding him? Because Bhagavatam has to come, Krishna wants the Bhagavatam to be spoken. So, could it be the super soul guiding him?
It could be. Yeah, we're not guiding him, but covering him.
Yeah.
As Krishna says in the Gita, he says, Jnanam Smritir Apohanam Cha. So, Apohanam means he will forget. So, maybe there was an arrangement that he became like that, so Bhagavatam could be spoken. You have to read the commentaries of the acharya. So. Any other question or comment?
What says that Parikshit Maharaj left his associates and then surrendered, and then we were able to understand the evolution of Sivasivodaya. So since we live in today's working environment, most of the time we are associated with karmis, do we need to leave them to understand the position of Sivasivodaya?
You have to become unaffected by their association. You have to be very careful about taking their association because their association is contaminating. So it may not be so practical that you can just completely, I mean, you can go to Vrindavan and you can just fully absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness. But then Srila Prabhupada even says that even Vrindavan is very contaminated these days. So if you go to Vrindavan, there's a lot of contamination there also. So it's not so much that we have to leave the association of the materialists, but we have to learn how not to become affected. And we have to minimize our association with them as much as we can. And we have to learn not to become affected by them. Which means you have to become strong in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada explains this. Just like a doctor, when he goes into the diseased ward, he has to become inoculated before he goes into the And if he's inoculated, if he's pure, then he doesn't become contaminated when he goes into the like that. So for us also, if we become strong in Krishna consciousness, even though we're with the non-devotees, we don't become so affected. Just like you see, a very good example, it's like when Indrajumna Swami does his Polish tour. So they're doing Harinam down the beach. So they're going down the beach, everyone's dressed in bikinis, the women practically have nothing on, the men also practically have nothing on, there's a big mood of sense enjoyment, everyone's on their holidays, it's summertime, everyone's on the beach. But they're going right through the middle of the material energy, right? Quite unaffected. You see Indrajumna Swami's consciousness does not become affected. Right, and those are absorbed in the Harinam, they do not become affected because everyone's absorbed in Krishna. So Prabhupada says in the beginning of the Vaishnava songbook, he says the safest place in the material world is in Krishna Ras or Krishna Kirtan. So when you're in Kirtan, when you're absolutely absorbed in chanting the holy name, then you won't become affected by the material energy, even though you might be on the beach. Any other question?
How do we read the situation when we feel like we are not doing our service proper enough and don't get too depressed? So we can feel down, so our mind is in this way. How do we do that? Like, be as much as possible, like,
it means that every devotee, when we do our service, we do it to the best of our ability. Like, we try our best. So if you're trying your best, then you will feel happy. You won't feel depressed. You'll feel happy. Because you're trying your best for Krishna. And the whole process of bhakti is based upon training by senior devotees. By the spiritual master and the senior. They train you. So they teach you how to do things properly. So you don't make mistakes. So you don't commit offenses to Krishna. So if you've been trained properly and you're doing the right thing, and if your attitude is correct, means you're doing it for Krishna's pleasure and you're doing it the best you can, you'll feel happy, you won't feel depressed. You'll feel very blissful. But then Krishna will reveal to us, okay, this has to improve, that has to improve. So we feel a little bit depressed about that. We feel like, okay, I still have so many things I have to improve. But we should not take it in a negative way, we should take it in a positive way. And Prabhupada says, actually, that's the difference between a neophyte disciple and an advanced disciple. A neophyte disciple, when you correct, because sometimes the senior devotees, they have to point out the problems which are there. So if someone's a very neophyte devotee, when their problems are pointed out, they become very morose, very depressed. They become unenthused. But Prabhupada says the advanced devotee, all the guru has to do is just point it out automatically. He takes that instruction. He improves himself and then he continues in his service with enthusiasm. So we have to be more sincere ourselves. We have to become sincere in our attitude when we're doing service. And also, we just have to try our best for Krishna, that's all. And if you're trying your best, you'll feel happy. You won't feel sad. Is that okay? Someone else had their hand up? Or? After Parikshit, it mentions in the 12th canto, it was his son, whose name was, just trying to remember how to pronounce it, Jambijaya. It's
not
Jambijaya. Yeah, Jambijaya. Yeah, Jambijaya. Like that song. If you look in the 12th canto, it explains. He performed a jagya actually because he became extremely angry. Because his father had been killed by a snake. So he became very angry and they performed a jagya to kill all the snakes. But then he was pacified. They said, just be calm. And they said, this was an arrangement of Krishna for this to take place. So, any other question? Comment?
On the same point, I heard that he wanted to finish all the race of snakes. He was so angry.
Yeah.
He didn't want any snakes to stay.
Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.